Where are we at?
On Muktzah Machmas Kesaron Kis. I think that's right.
Okay, so we are beginning with Piskei Tshuvas that follow Halacha Aleph and Shulchan Aruch. And oddly enough, we were first introduced to Muktzah Machmas Kesaron Kis. Things that are Muktzah because of their value. You're very careful with them. You don't want them to break and so on. They might be expensive. Muktza Machmas Chesaron Kis. I'm going to say MMCK for short. That'll be our abbreviation for this type of muktza. So we read in the Shulchan Aruch, Kol HaKelim Nitalim B'Shabbos Chutz Mimuktza Machmas Chesaron Kis. Any utensil may be moved, which is not completely true. We know there's other things besides MMCK that may not be moved. But anyways, leave that now. Shulchan Aruch opened up. They're allowed to move things except MMCKs. And what is an MMCK? Shemakpidim. Shalola sois bim tashmish acher. One definition of MMCK is something you would only use for its designated purpose. Okay? If you don't have a knife for to cut your steak and you're a shoychet, you ain't taking out your shoychet's knife to cut the steak. The shoychet's knife, if you're a moyel, the moyel's knife, it ain't coming out to cut the steak. A hammer, well, if you have a nut you want to crack open and you don't have a nutcracker, you would take the hammer without hesitation. A hammer is heavy duty. It's an all-purpose utensil. You take a hammer, crack a nut. But a moyel ain't using his knife to cut the steak, even if there's no other knife in the house. So regardless of its value, a moyel's knife, for example, is an MMCK. Okay. And MMCKs, asur l'tatlo b'Shabbos, it may not be moved on Shabbos for any reason. V'ayin heita v'loshna Mishnah Brura. The Piskei opens up, telling us to go to the Mishnah Brura, which we did. Bir Halacha, and then another Mishnah Brura, and he says go to Sapa Siman Sifkat and Kusam Eches. Anyways, ulafi havonos devarav the Reishar Gedolia Poskim, and based on the Mishnah Brura and the other Poskim, hagdarat muksa machmas chaseron kis hukedela halak. We are going to now see very exacting definitions as to what is a muksa machmas chaseron kis. We're going to get the definition down pat, every opinion. So the first thing is kelim v'chafetzim she'ena miyuadim l'mleches iser. Now, a klish machto, a klish machmas chaseron kis is not necessarily something whose use is forbidden. If you have an expensive painting in your house, it's not a kli, but you're not going to move it because you want it to stay nice. If you have the Mona Lisa, you're not going to pass around the Mona Lisa to all your guests to take a look. So something that's special, it's not used. It doesn't have to be a kli, it just has to be special. Im omdim bishvili shtamesh bahem, but something that is used as a utensil. That, of course, is mutzer on Shabbos. Im bahem mukzer. It's not mukzer. Even if it's expensive, don't think that expensive things are automatically muksa machmas chaseron kis. No, you could have a very, very, very expensive hammer, which you don't hesitate to use as a nutcracker. Okay, so that's one thing. But what could be a muksa machmas chaseron kis is something that you're very careful with. You only use it once in a while. Okay, you don't want it to get ruined. Ach ein im einam yuadim l'shimush, but something that's never used. Elo yiroisim bilvad l'noi v'yofi. It's only meant to be looked upon, not to be used and moved and handled and touched. As I came and shemakse lehem makom, since it's in a set place. Usually you have it behind the glass. It's on the wall. You don't move this out of the glass. You don't take this off the wall, even during the week. Because it's very valuable, whether that's literally financially valuable or simply it's valuable to you. Turning the page. That is muksa machmas chaseron kis. Even though it's true, once in a while you will move it to clean behind it, maybe. Or maybe once in a while you'll take it off to show it to people. Or for any other reason, it would still be muksa machmas chaseron kis. examples. Otsaros, umeshichos chemda, valuable savings and treasures. Asher einam oimdim lirois laros goyim. Sorry, noyam, the yofyam, you don't show it off. Okay, ulemisham shame. Ulemisham shame lechol dichvin. You don't give it to everyone who you see. You don't just pass it around. Ela atzurim vegnuzim hem botzrosav. You keep it safe, put away in a safe. Ushmurim heitev. It's well protected, well guarded. Ela oilam liishtamesh b'hem. You would never use it. Vagam shleitim rechokos yotim laharoisam lacherim kiot. Was that even if once in a while you do show it to other people, that doesn't take away from its MMCK status. So we're seeing over and over again that anything that's very, very special to you, that you don't use it regularly, you set a place for it, you don't want it to get ruined, you wouldn't use it for any use other than what it was created for, like the Moyle's knife. These are all examples of things that would be MMCK. Next paragraph. Ve'aranot u'mekarer v'shar kelim v'chapeitim kevedim me'od, closets and fridges and other very heavy things. If you don't move your fridge because, and this is important, if you don't move your fridge because you're scared the fridge might break, your fridge is an MMCK. Doesn't mean you can't open the door. You can open the door of the fridge. But you wouldn't be able to move the fridge on Shabbos for whatever reason you wanted to move the fridge. If you never move the fridge because you're worried about it breaking, you can't move the fridge on Shabbos. Hagam shleitim etaltim im koimam kadeh lenakoisam amachmas kol siba shahi. Even though you might move the fridge before Pesach to clean under the fridge, to clean the behind the fridge for before Pesach, it's still an MMCK if you would really never move it for any other reason at any other time.
So I just want to understand this distinction. If you would move it, if you know, without being concerned that it would be damaged, then it would not be in this category.
That's correct. Even though you and I probably don't move our fridge too often at all, it's not because we're scared it's going to break or we're so careful with it, because we don't want to schlep. It's too hard. It's bulky. No,
I just don't want to show off how strong I am.
Right? Exactly. Right. So everyone has their own reason, but it's not because we're worried it's going to break and things like that. It's not because we're being extra cautious and guardian over it. You know. Okay. So it's Ella, like I said, machmas kovdan. The reason you don't move the fridge, it's too heavy. It's a pain. Ain't a regular aziz. I mean, koimam, and therefore, for that reason, you don't regularly move it from its place. Oh, ki ain't lo shum siba tzarech lazizam. You don't move your fridge because you have no reason to move your fridge. If money falls under your fridge, so you might move your fridge to get the money. But other than Pesach, you don't need to move a fridge. You never move a fridge. Ain b'hem ister muksa. Then for it's not muksa, your fridge is not muksa. And if something didn't go into your fridge on Shabbos, you wanted to get it back, you would be allowed to move the fridge. It's not muksa. It's a klishon lachto leheter. Okay. Now, next category. That is MMCK. I think MMCK is pretty clear by now. It looks like the PK Chuvas is going into the next category of muksa called klishon lachto leheter. And that's the most common type of muksa and the most lenient type of muksa. And for short, I'll be calling it KSL. Kli shem lachto leheter. If, as we saw a moment ago, you have an item and you would never use it other than for the purpose for which it is intended, the purpose it was manufactured, because you're worried you might ruin it or lower its value, like again using a Moyle's knife to cut a steak, it would never happen. So even though it's a knife, and a knife on the surface is a permissible kli to move around all you want on Shabbos. But no, if it's a type of knife, like a Moyle's knife, you would never use it for anything other than its intended purpose and so on. That's an MMCK. Hagam she'eino makseh u'miyachad lahem makom. And this is true even if you don't put the thing in a special place. This point is important. I want to emphasize this point we just read. The two requirements of several, but two of the MMCK requirements is one, either, not and, but either it's something you would only use for its intended purpose, or it's something you put in a special place to protect it. Either one, either reason will make that item an MMCK. Okay. So he says, "Agam she'eno maksim yachad lemakom." Top of the next page, ki ragil ishtamish b'lama l'mashe yuadu l'kach. So you might just be that you're a moil, and you'll leave your moils knife just anywhere. You live alone. There's no kids who will get hurt, just you and your wife. The moil leaves his moil knife anywhere. So even though he doesn't have a set place for it, but it's still an MMCK because he would never use it other than for the purposes intended. So he's not really going to Kli Shemach Talister over here. He's just differentiating that very often what you might think is a Kli Shemach Talister is really Muktzeh Machmas Chesaron Kis. V'yesh lachzor u'leshanen u'lizkor. We have to review and remember. Ki Chesaron Kis, when we say this type of Muktzeh, is Chesaron Kis, which seems to imply financial loss. But he says clearly, very importantly, Eino nimda lefi shovei kaspi. It doesn't matter what the price tag is. Elefi chashivus ve'erech v'yikros achepet ve'enei ba'alof. It depends on its owner. You know, if you get a small item from your great-great-grandmother, to you that's worth a lot of money. But to me, it might just be another hairband. I don't know what you got from your great-grandmother. I don't know. But, you know, sentimental value has an effect. Sentimental value has an effect on muksa. Interestingly, though, let me say that on that note. Sentimental value has no halachic admission, halachic weight or status or value in Beis Din. So if I break a glass, a vase, that's a good one. I break a vase you got from your great-great-great-grandmother. To you, it's worth $1 million. But in the store, a similar thing is worth $20. You take me to Beis Din because I drove over your vase intentionally. Let's say I did it intentionally. Take me to Beis Din. I'm going to pay for the Beis Din's going to say, give him $20. You broke his vase. But Hillel's going to cry, it's for my great-great-grandmother. It's worth $1 million. I can't replace that. Beis Din will tell you, as is the black and white halacha in Choshen Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch, sentimental value has no weight in halacha.
Meaning monetary value. Exactly. And you're saying here a case where it has halachic significance.
In muksa, it does. A sentimental value that you're careful with it. For you, it's muksa. For me, it wouldn't be. Oh, it goes by the owner. So the owner says, for me, this is muksa. So for all his guests in the house, it's also muksa. That's right. Okay, but in Choshen Mishpat, sentimental value has no weight. Okay. And he says over here, afilu shele'ein acherim ein bo chashivus. Even though other people will just see a vase, but to you it's something special. But since to you it's special, muktza hu lakol, it's muktza for everyone. The reverse is also true. Im be'ein acherim yeshol chashivus. If other people think it's expensive and valuable, ach be'nei ba'alav ein lo chashivus, ein makbir alav. But the owner thinks, just a vase. So let's say you have the Ming, a Ming vase. I think that's the term, a Ming vase. Very expensive vase. But you're very wealthy. If Ming vase breaks, no big deal. No big deal. Just buy a new one tomorrow. It's really not a big deal. So I come to your house. So the Ming vase in your house is not muksa. Because for you, it's not a big deal. You pass it around. Maybe you play catch with it. Okay, if it breaks, you don't care. But in my house, I can't afford a new Ming vase every day. So in my house, it will be MMCK. But in your house, it's pasha, not muksa at all. Muksa goes by the owner. The owner defines whether something is muksa or not and which category of muksa it is. Last paragraph over here. Muksa machmas chesaron kis asu taltul of zizo klal. MMCKs may not be moved at all, even if you need the place it occupies. Afil tarkufa makomo, if you need its body, and if you need the place it occupies. Ulinyan im roshay letaltul lo klachar yad beraglav, about kicking and moving in a different manner. We'll see about that soon. And just to not keep you in suspense, any muksa can be moved in an unusual manner. That's not an issue. You could always elbow something or blow it, or if it's not a ball, you could kick it. A ball doesn't help the kick because that's the normal way of moving a ball. So it's not called unusual manner of moving a ball because, you know, it's always kicked. So you'd have to move a ball with, I don't know, your nose. But anything else, you can move with your foot or elbow or blow it or any in ordinary manner, any muksa can be moved. Just want to review, make it clear. We're going to see it many times. When something is in the category of Kli Shemach Tol Iser, a KSL, it may be moved with Tzorech Gufo o Mekomo. You need its body for something permissible, like a knife, like a hammer to crack open nuts, or you need the place it occupies. There's a hammer on your chair. You want to sit on the chair. You're allowed to pick up the hammer with your hands in the normal manner. A KSL, when it's allowed to be moved, can be moved in the normal manner. No other muksa can be moved in the normal manner for any reason. Gimel. Kelim, u'maychaldim ha'oimdim l'schayra. You have a store, and in your store are all kinds of foods and products that you want to sell. V'humadim la'shala t'murat tashum, or you rent them out. So obviously what's going on over here is that if you have a store, you have products to sell, you don't want that stuff getting ruined. You want to keep it nice. If you have a bookstore, you don't want to open all your books and read all the books on Shabbos because you want the book to look fresh and new Sunday morning when the customers come. So schoira, we're more careful with. Okay. You want it to look good. The customers should buy it. Should be attractive. The Rama said, going on the Rama, things that you want to sell, it's muksa because it has no Shabbos use. You don't want to use it on Shabbos. You want it to stay fresh. It's MMCK. You want it to stay fresh or healthy or beautiful or whole or mint. You don't want to get ruined. But something you're not makpid on, even if you do sell it, even though it's in the storage room or it's in the store floor, wherever it is, it won't be muksa. For example, you sell cans of Coca-Cola. So yeah, you want to sell it, you want to make a profit, you want to make money. But you won't hesitate to drink a can of Coca-Cola if you're thirsty. Even on Shabbos, you may not hesitate to go into your store because your store is right next door to your house. You take a key, you'll go to your store, you get a can of Coke. You want to drink a Coke. It's a thing you're not so makpid on. It's not so expensive. The owner is not so makpid on it. So that would not be MMCK, even though it's meant to sell. Let's see what the Piskei Tshuva says. So he says any food is never going to be muksa. Even if you sell the food, it's not muksa. Anything in your grocery store, you can go in on Shabbos and get and eat.
So does that imply that there's no volume restriction related to food? I mean, $1,000 worth of steak or whatever.
Raw meat is always muksa even in your own house because you can't cook it up on Shabbos.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Has no use. But he's saying over here, if you have a grocery store, Shabbos morning, you want anything that you didn't prepare for Shabbos, an extra this, extra that, go in and take it, even though you would sell it, you want to sell it. Mm-hmm. But no, food is not muksa. Okay? You can before Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Yud, Mishnah Berurah, Sham Kidas, HaSoicher Aleihem Lechol Mehem, Kishir Tzeh, Einu Begeder Makpid Aleihem. The assumption is that a store owner won't hesitate to eat the food he sells if he's hungry, if he wants it. And therefore, it's not muksa 24/7. On Shabbos, and you could take it 24/7. And some poskim write, even if the grocery store owner is makpid, and would never eat or drink the food he sells, nevertheless, they're still not muksa. This is weird. Guy says, I'm never going to touch my food. What I sell, never going to eat from it. I want to sell it. It seems like it's muksa, but no. They're saying it's not muksa even then. Why? He wants to say over here that food is a different category in life. Because ultimately, bottom line is, no one's going to let themselves starve to death when they have food they could easily eat if they needed to. And even the grocer who owns a grocery store, who really, as a general rule, doesn't eat the food he sells, doesn't drink the food he sells, because he wants to sell it for a profit. Ultimately, let's face it, the grocer was dying of hunger. He'd rip off something from his shelf, you know, and open it up and eat it.
Well, the oil this main, is a problem. This is a problem that drug dealers have, right?
Because
they're not supposed to use their own product.
Right, using the profits. Therefore, he wants to say that there's an automatic blanket dispensation. Food is never muksa. In a slight variation of what we just said, perhaps only food that's really common on Shabbos is never muksa. But food, I guess, you would never eat on Shabbos would be muksa, even according to this view. Okay. Anything that's for to enjoy on Shabbos, even if meant to be sold, sages did not want to put muksa on it. The ban on muksa. It also includes any svarim. So if you own a svarim store, he's saying you're allowed to go on Shabbos and take a sefer out to learn. Whether you sell it on Sunday, that's your business. But even though it's meant for sale, since it's very common for people to pick up a sefer on Shabbos, so all the svarim in your store are not muksa. We are turning the page. V'yesh ha-koisim oid, it's further written, shagam b'shar dvarim, in other things as well, kegon begadim u'klei achila v'shar chafetzim, whether it's clothes, eating utensils, shezakuk lahem b'shabbos, you might need it on Shabbos, roshei litla min ha-mocher, you're allowed to go into the store and take it on Shabbos. Of course, he puts in brackets, like we've learned together, but they're a cheter. We learned together in detail how to get things out of stores on Shabbos, whether it's a Jewish-owned store or a Goyish-owned store. The law shun chashash mekach u'memkar u'maso matne, got to be careful not to violate the ban on doing business. V'lo pisuk damim, don't talk about money. V'lo chashash da'av shamilsan, don't make noise, don't make it visible. Keshemikan ve'elech yisharu eitzlo. You go into the store, you take whatever you want. It's meant to be with you forever. And after Shabbos, ulachar Shabbos, yishalem demehem, you go back and pay. V'lo asu mishumukse elke shebedatu lishtamash bem derech harai ulafziram l'soicher. However, it would be muksa, things that are used but returned. Shebezeh imakpid ha-soicher al-kach, and therefore if the soicher is makpid, shema yeira bahem hefzer al-kilkul, the owner's worried about getting damaged. So anything that would be used and returned, i.e. to get it back in the store to sell on Sunday, I think he's saying would indeed be muksa. It's only if it's a permanent sale, permanent transfer, that you can go and it's not muksa. So obviously, if you want to buy a can of Coca-Cola, you're not going to return the open can of Coca-Cola. Once you buy the Coca, once you go in the store and get the can of Coca-Cola, it's yours. Just trying to think out loud. What could be something that is taken and returned, some kind of rental? I don't know. What could be rented on Shabbos? Maybe Caleb. Caterers rent out dishes, forks, and knives. You want to go rent forks and knives, so that wouldn't be allowed. You got to return it. I don't know. But you got the idea. Next paragraph. Ach, yeish ha-chokim al-kfiyazu. Others disagree with everything you just said. Yesoyrim shemikol makom mitzad migu diskatzo yesh la-asor. The rule of migo could asur everything. Meaning, If when Shabbos came in, a store owner had no intention of using anything in the store, so it's muksa all of Shabbos. He didn't have mind to use it on Shabbos. He didn't think anyone else would use it on Shabbos. What's halacha? So he says, V'asach date minayhu. You took your mind off it. And once you take your mind off something before Shabbos, it is muksa for the whole Shabbos. This is the rule of migu diskatzoi. I'll say it again. I think we touched upon it last week. But migu is like this. If you have a situation when something is muksa as Shabbos comes in, it remains muksa the entire Shabbos. That is a rule. Okay, very important. If something is muksa when Shabbos comes in, it's muksa all of Shabbos, even if the situation changed. Okay. Amnam bedvarim asher shechiach shmevakshim imenu b'Shabbos v'yom tov. But things that are very commonly requested to be used on Shabbos and Yom Tov, kegon kli achila chad pamim, throwaway dishes, forks and knives, chitul etino, baby diapers, the kayotze be'elu, things that, the store owner is used to getting a knock at the door saying, please, would you give me this? I'm stuck for Shabbos. Shabbir efter lahakel tachim b'Shabbos min ha-meicher. So you're allowed. You can be lenient and take it from the store. L'fiyah klali muvar m'sim ha-shin chav gimel, as we're going to learn more later on. The kelim ha'oim di mashallah, and kelim that are meant to be rented, put in brackets even for pay. The divrei kol b'chol inyan ein bam iser muksa. These things are not muksa. Umutter la'ashilam b'Shabbos tzarech hayoyim. You're allowed to rent them for need on Shabbos. Interesting. Something that's not muksa can be rented also. It's not just a sale. It could be rented. You'll pay the rent price after Shabbos. Okay, Dalin. Getting into individual items and categorizing them. Geder amuksa b'telefonim mechashvim v'shar machshivei elektronim. Where do electronic appliances fall out? For some people, electronic appliances are MMCK. It's very special to them. They would never use it other than what it's meant for. They put in a special place at the end of every day. That would be MMCK. Or you're like the type of guy, you use your cell phone as a doorstop if you needed to, okay? Because you're just like that. So for some people, the electronics will be KSL. For some people, electronics will be MMCK. So the Mishnah Berurah said, "Behu adin shar dvarim shemakbid aleim shlishtamish b'mtashmish acher." So something you're makbid on, not to use it for its intent, other than its intended purpose, is muksa mmck. You don't want to get ruined. Kegon migare gedoyla shminasrim ba esakoros. A saw, a big saw, is muksa. Osakin shal ratzanim, the knife of the leather workers. Okay. These are MMCK items, even though it's a knife and even though it's this and that, it's a saw, but these are MMCK because they only use it for their intended purpose. And today, electronic devices, sewing machines, mechashvim, computers, telephonim, v'shar machshirim digitali madinim, sensitive electronic products, kimetzlaimot, machshire haklata v'azana, recording devices, photography devices, shalatim, remote controls, asher makfidim alem shlishtamesh bohem shimushim acherim, you're very careful not to use it for any other purpose. She'enem yuadim lahem achmas chashash hefzer v'kilkul, you won't use it for any other purpose, you don't want to get ruined. Most of us talk about remote controls. These days, they put remote controls on the wall. Probably your air conditioner remote control is on a little, it goes on the wall in a little case. So that's very clearly, it's set in a certain place, doesn't want to get lost, doesn't get ruined. So I would say the remote control is an MMCK, not a KSL. You might think it's a KSL. No, it's an MMCK. You never use it for anything other than turning on the air conditioner, and it's in a special place and so on. So it's an MMCK. Shasurim betiltul lechalutin.
Perhaps the distinction of is how freaked out you'll be if you lose it.
Right. So an MMCK cannot be moved under any circumstances. Okay, Amar l'maisa yesh ladas. We should know. Again, as we said earlier, muksa goes by the owner, the will of the owner, the attitude of the owner. If you're the type of guy that will, you know, juggle the remote control, okay, you'll fidget with it. You'll fidget with it. You might use it as a paperweight. You give it to a child to play with. So then for you, it's not an MMCK. It'll be a KSL. That you're allowed to move it. Okay, very clear. The kol shekenim yesh po gam shimushi het b'Shabbos. You have something that has a permissible use on Shabbos. Kigon ha-telefonim ha-nayadim shishpam tzag sha'on. Your cell phone. I use my cell phone every Shabbos as my alarm clock. So my cell phone is kli shemalachto l'iser u'leheter. V'rabi mishtam shibam l'shan me'arer. Back to the top of the next page. And he says, many people use their cell phone as an alarm clock, as I do. So it's a KSL for sure. You use it for other things. And therefore, you can move it. So when your alarm clock goes off,
Shabbos
morning.
Do you use it for that purpose in order that it be in that category?
No, I use it as an alarm clock every day of the week.
Uh-huh.
That's the way I use my phone. So my phone is almost inherently a KSL, not an MMCK. And when the phone goes off on Shabbos, the alarm goes off Shabbos morning, I pick up the phone without touching any buttons. I put it in a drawer. I just make noise in the drawer for an hour. Right? That is. They take a long time to go off. Okay. Next entry. Mechabrot, workbooks, binders. Nayarot, k'tiva, paper. Mismachim, mshaltim, government papers. Verifui, medical papers. Mischarim, business papers. So, okay, let's categorize. Oniar chalak she'oymed l'ktiva. Clean paper, writing paper, computer paper. What's its status? V'gam b'zeh yesh ladas, ki b'zmaneinu ekev ribuy aniyar o mechiro hazol. Nowadays, paper is very common and paper is inexpensive. So b'derech chalal ein adam nimnam lishtamesh b'niyar chalak oymed l'ktiva avur shimushim acherim. Today, people won't hesitate to use a blank piece of paper for whatever they want. They might take a blank piece of paper to rip off to use as a bookmark. They might use it to write anything, whatever. Even toilet paper. You might use a paper to wipe up dirt. Okay, similar. And therefore, nowadays, I think we saw in the introduction. I think this was mentioned in the introduction to Muksa that we learned in the introduction. I think he mentioned paper was MMCK. But here we're seeing times have changed. And today paper is inexpensive and it was readily available. So it's no longer MMCK. And today we use paper for much more than just writing. So it's really not MMCK. Except maybe a binder, a mechaberet, or block michtavim. I'm sure what the block michtavim is. But daftefet, binders, and all kinds of pages.
I'm wondering if block michtavim is some kind of like the accounting paper.
It's a pad. I think it's a pad of paper.
Okay.
Yeah, or a pad, or a machberet, a writing book. So these things you're a bit more careful with. You don't take a book that you know a child can use for school as a writing book and rip out the center pages because you need a bookmark. So you don't do that. So even the machberet, even though it's very, very cheap, it is only used for its intended purpose. So a machberet is probably an MMCK. Right, so regular paper is mutter on Shabbos, if you need it, it's a KSL. He adds an envelope. It's not muks either. Government papers, he puts in brackets, tudat zahut and passport. The kartisei ashray, shtaras kesef, shtar kartisei, shtaras nayaras shavei kesef. Okay? Credit cards. Checks, bullion, stamps. So listen to this. It's MMCK. Your tudat zahut is MMCK. I'll tell you a story about this in a second. All kinds of documents that you're careful with, government documents, birth certificates, all these things are MMCK. So I'll tell you a funny story, an interesting story now about tudat zahut. So tudat zahut, as you can see, is MMCK. He says it's MMCK. So I have a friend who lives on the same block as Naftali Bennett. And now that Naftali Bennett is the prime minister of Israel, so of course the street is blocked off and security and checkposts, and you know how it looks. Now, here's the problem. To get to the shul, you got to go through past Naftali Bennett's house. So you got to walk straight past the house, and you have to go through checkpoint A of the Shabak. Walk past the house and you go through checkpoint B of the Shabak. Now the Shabak had a deal. He said, listen, all the residents in the area, if you have a tudat zahut and you look religious, you're going to the shul, we'll let you walk past Bennett's house. But you have to carry a tudat zahut. So according to what we just saw here, it's not allowed. It's MMCK. So you get into, is it allowed or is it not allowed? So there's a couple of, you look at it, it's not allowed. And sorry, you got to go all around Ranana. Okay, you can't go through Bennett Street. Okay, you need a tudat zahut because of the tudat. Or you could say that before Shabbos, you designated it. You demuksed it because you had in mind. You need it for Shabbos. I don't know. Maybe you can say that. And the truth is, although he says here it's an MMCK, I was so makbid. We don't have to get lost, but it's in our wallet. We'll show it out. We'll take it out. I don't know. I think the tudat zahut is negotiable, exactly if it's muksa or not and what kind of muksa. But that's funny that this past Shabbos, I got my friend sent me an email to ask me about the halachic issues of walking by Bennett's house and there's other halachic issues anyways. Okay, so that's the story. The Chomrei Gelam.
What are the other halachic issues?
One is the cameras that watch you as you walk by. And the other issue is they wrote in the letter, they had reserved the right when they take you to tudat zahut to call it in. They don't know you. They don't trust you. They call it in. So what you're doing is by walking in the street, showing the tudat zahut, they call it in, you're causing the Jew to do the Chilul Shabbos.
Yeah.
So Lanias Daiti, I paskin for this guy, he's got to go around the block. He can't go through Bennett's house. He's got to go 5 minutes more. Okay, whatever it is. But you can't go directly past. That's what I told him he has to do. Okay. You're a tailor. You make suits. Sell material. The customer comes in to choose a material. You're going to make a custom-made suit. So the material, the suit maker is not going to use this suit material for other purposes. It's meant for sale. It has no other use other than sale. And on Shabbos, it's muksa. No other use for it on Shabbos. So gam yesh isra muksa machmas kesaron kis. So this type of stuff is MMCK. Begam isra muksa machmas gufo kedayin eno b'toras kziklal. It's a double muksa. This case of material on a roll that the tailor sells to customers to make them a custom-made suit is double muksa. It's MMCK because it's valuable and it would not be used other than what the tailor bought it for. And B, it's not even a clean. It's a nothingness. So it's MMG as well. Muksa machas gufo. Okay, so you do see that items could have multiple muksa categories. Okay, we're going to entry Vav. Avlar, Olar is it pronounced Olar or Avlar? I think it's Avlar. Sandra, what do you say? Your Hebrew is probably better than all those. Olar, I think it's Olar. Maftechot.
Well, what is it?
Pakenech. Yeah, Olar. Maftechot, Klaser, binders, okay, keys. Amurkavi, Michalke, Hector, Visser. And often you have things that are aster and mutter on it. For instance, a pocket knife could have a screwdriver and also a bottle opener. The bottle opener is not muksa, but the screwdriver is muksa. Right? A ring of keys. The car keys are muksa, but the house keys are not muksa. And they're all on the same ring. What's the deal? So the Mishnah Berurah said, Oy soy asak nichal soy frim asa taltiloi. We learned the case in the Mishnah Berurah where we have a carrying case of many knives, and some of those knives are total muksa, like the shochet's knife and the moil's knife. You're still allowed to move the entire case because there's non-muksa knives as well. As he says in the words, "Tahanasis bosis for isru leheter." The carrying case is both for mutter and for aser. You could also shake out the muksa knives from inside it. Okay, let's see Piskei Tshuvos. Masha Kasuv, I'm going to mute everyone because I hear some kind of background noise on my end. But if you want to unmute yourself and ask something, of course, don't hesitate to unmute yourself. The Ima Chalakim. New paragraph. If the mutter dika items and the usher dika items are attached, you can't take it off. Can go on olar, like the pocket knife. Asher bo chalakim shonim, it has different parts. Like I said, a screwdriver and a bottle opener. Just a simple knife, it's not muksa either. Ubeinayim gam sakim gam isparayim. He gives an example of knives, and you have scissors, mikatzet zippor naim, some kind of nail clippers, ukadoyim, and similar. Azai kiyim and shiyav shalaf freedom, since it can't be removed, it can't be separated from the pocket knife. V'lo yitach and ishtamish behetar b'lo tiltul ha'isser, you can't get to the mutter dika things without moving the esser dika things. V'lo yitach and ishtamish behetar b'lo tiltul ha'isser. Right, you can't get to the heter without the iser. Harei zeki ilu kol akli miuchad beomed b'shabazul tashmish heter. The whole thing is mutter. As long as there's components in the knife or in any item that is mutter, we don't care there's aser. So if accidentally you have your house keys and your car keys on the same keychain, the keychain is not muksa because you have the house keys as well. Amnam tzarech lizar shalif liftoach liskor litasik in chalka iser shabo. But of course, don't take out the scissors or the screwdriver in the pocket knife. Take out only the knife or the bottle opener. And touch the house key. Don't touch the car key. There's many things today that have aser dika components and mutter dika components. Kigon shaon yad, a watch. Hamurkav yachad imach shavon. A watch might have a calculator on it. Telephone nayad v'shar machshir machshonim. Like we said, the cell phone that you use for other purposes. Et, you have pens. Umetzitim. And lighters. Sheyesh boim sha'on. That also have a clock on them. You also have etim shemuchubar lahem birkon. I've seen this in the past. There's a bencher in the pen. You unroll the bencher and you have a bencher in the pen. So That's not muksa on Shabbos. So imagine going around your table and passing pens out to everybody. What the heck are you doing? I thought this is Shomer Shabbos home. You say, no, no, the bench is in the pen. And they'll realize it's not muksa. Like he says, me'ikar adin. You're allowed to move them. Make her allowed to move them. Amram lamaise. However, lamaise kivan cheter gorah pashimush b'dvarim elu asher nikar lem sheikar ondim l'shimush ha'aser b'shabbos yecholi gram l'pirsa gadol b'chom chumas shabbos. But the reality is, since a pen is used much more as a pen than as a bencher, you shouldn't use a pen bencher on Shabbos because it could lead to all kinds of confusion, as we just saw right now, passing a pen around at the table. People think you're crazy. And therefore, we should avoid using muksa items even in a permissible manner, like the bencher and the pen, if you have other options. It depends on the person, the place, the setting. But if you have no benchers, you're allowed to pass out the pens. No problem. Veda, you should know, even things that can be separated, the car keys from the house keys. But really, it's always together. There's really no true obligation. I would say, though, it's commendable to separate the house keys from the car keys, but there's no true obligation, he's saying over here. You don't have to separate the yasser tikka pieces. There he goes. The most common example. There's house keys and car keys. Or mushchal bokartis magneti. There's other kinds of things on your keychain. You might have a binder. Some of the pages are empty or have business in them. Or some of the pages are Torah. Well, the Torah is not muksa. So the whole binder is not muksa. Next page. Oh, as I said a moment ago, it's still commendable to separate it before Shabbos. Amram im yesh bazatir chayseru, but it's too difficult. Or shachoyshesh ma'ovdan, or gneva, or sharhefsed, you're worried things will get lost or stolen. Roshei lahakel, ulishtamesh, ba'shabbos divrei heter below the salak iser. You're allowed to use it without separating the forbidden components. Try not to grasp with your hand the forbidden parts. So that covers all the Piskei Tshuvas relevant to Halacha Aleph. We go now to Shin Ches, Halacha Beis and Shulchan Aruch, which I see now has no Piskei Tshuvas. So I see Kol Kli, Halacha Beis and Shulchan Aruch with our Mishnah Berurah. Kol kli afilu gadol v'kaved harbe, anything, no matter how big it is, like the fridge. Lo nispatel shem kli mimenu. It's still a kli. Even though you never move your fridge, you don't want to move your fridge. It's too heavy to move your fridge. But as long as it's not an MMCK, we spoke about that earlier. But no matter what the size of the kli is, a kli is a kli is a kli. Okay, lo nispatel shem kli mimenu. It doesn't lose its status as a kli. Lo mipnei gadloi, but no, lo mipnei kovdo. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how heavy it is. A kli is a kli. Mishnah Berurah Ches. Bekaver harbe, even though it's very heavy. V'u'adin evan g'dorla v'koyra g'dorla im yesh taras kli aleya. No matter how big a thing is, a large stone, a large beam, that obviously has a Shabbos purpose. Im yesh taras kli aleya, if it's a kli, it has a Shabbos purpose, Shabbos use. Share the taltalon, you can move it. Even if you never move it during the week, like the fridge, you can move it on Shabbos if it's a kli. Just because it's very heavy and you don't want to move it, doesn't mean you can't. Doesn't mean it's set aside. Vanira, the imbi moisa choil, who zahir la niya mimakom kadesh leitap. But again, if during the week you never move it, because you don't want to ruin it, you've declared it's an MMCK and not a KSL, and therefore you can't move it on Shabbos, you need to. And finally, not due to its weight, even if it takes many people to carry it, if it's a kli, It's a kli. For other halachic purposes, by the way, what's going on over here? Why would I think otherwise? For certain halachic purposes, when something is so big, it has the status of karka, not as kli. So that's what that's all about. Okay. So there's no piskei tshuvos over here. I recommend we stop now because Gimel is ginormous. Gimel is a whole hour on its own, certainly with the piskei tshuvos. So I suggest we stop over here. And I want to wish you Shavua Tov. Thank you for joining me. Hope you enjoyed. And see you all again next week. You're all muted. If anyone's talking, you're muted.
Thank you.
There's a Hafnasat Sefer Torah on your street. You're hearing the noise.
Oh, I didn't hear any noise, but I want to go see it. Okay, thank you. I'll take a look.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye, guys. Bye, everyone.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Have a good week, everybody.